Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're going to be talking about guns and violence. Of course, this is a reaction to the Sandy Hook shootings, a terrible tragedy in our nation's history, and again has provoked a discussion. Should there be more or less guns in our society? How do we keep our children safe? Has Sandy Hook changed your position on guns? Some people are saying it has. What can be done about violence in America? And are guns part of the problem? All those questions we'll throw out to you. We'll be talking with Corey Sorensen, a fourth grade teacher at Highland Elementary, who's getting a concealed weapons permit. Her instructor is Clark Aposian, who you know is a member of Shooting Sports Council. Mayor Dana Williams will join us, and Chief of Police Wade Carpenter from Park City, and Cal Udy, a staff member of American Federation of Teachers. And we'll be joined by Matt LaPlante from the USU Journalism and Communications Department.
Support for Access Utah comes from Crum Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan. Now open Monday through Saturday until 2, offering a changing menu of a specialty salad, French breakfast pastries with local seasonal fruits, and lunch sandwiches.
Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're all wondering what we should do, what we should feel in the wake of the Sandy Hook shootings. Unfortunately, this is just the latest in a long line of violence in America. And this one, I think, really touched a nerve because these were children all about the same age who were gunned down. And so we're going to talk about this, of course, for the hour, but asking some questions of you. By the way, the number is 1-800-826-1495. We'd love to have your take on this. If you're a parent, what do you want done to ensure that your children are safe? Has Sandy Hook changed your position on guns? If so, how so? We've heard from some people who've said that it's changed their position on guns one way or the other. America is a very violent place, and what can be done? And where do guns fit in that? Those are some questions we're throwing out to you. We'll be talking about this in the second half with Mayor Dana Williams of Park City, also Chief of Police Wade Carpenter from Park City. Cal Udy will also join us, staff member at the American Federation of Teachers. They all have a position more toward gun control. In the first half of the program, we'll be talking with Clark Aposian, who's with the Utah Shooting Sports Council and is a concealed weapons permit trainer. Clark Aposian, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. It's great to be here.
And one of the people I understand you're training at this point, Corey Sorensen, fourth grade teacher at Highland Elementary at Highland, Utah. Corey Sorensen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So that's a very interesting take on this. And we're going to concentrate, as you could tell by the guests that we have, on schools and how to keep children safe. Some people are saying put police officers in schools. That's one way to do it. Get teachers trained. That's another way to do it. Others saying, no, let's reduce the numbers of guns. We'll ask you your position. And Matthew LaPlante, assistant professor in the Journalism and Communication Department at USU, joins me as a co-host for the hour. Matthew.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let me begin with by having us all listen to a piece that perhaps you caught earlier in the week. I just wanted to have us listen to this again. Very interesting report from Moab, from our reporter there, John Kovash. In the wake of Sandy Hook school shootings, Moab School District is ready to employ a full-time sheriff's deputy whose job is school security. And here's John's report.
The deputy's time would be divided among Moab's three public school campuses. The effort is being spearheaded by Sheriff Stephen White, who has worked with the school's safety committee during the last 10 years, ever since the Columbine shootings in Colorado.
Especially since Columbine, the schools, the law enforcement, and the community as a whole has taken a very strong interest in the safety of these kids. It changed how law enforcement deals with these issues. Columbine totally changed how we dealt with active shooter issues. There'll probably be some things come out of Sandy Hook that you'll see how we change some things.
School board member Jim Webster also sits on the safety committee, which has been active since the Sandy Hook shootings. Webster is ready to support an armed deputy working at the schools.
Not as a reaction to Sandy Hook at all, but as an acknowledgement of the time that we live in.
Last year, the Moab school staged an elaborate active shooter drill as part of ongoing training. On the last day of class before Christmas break, a false rumor that a student was bringing a gun to the high school triggered a panic among Moab parents.
I was at the high school during the what I would call almost an exodus of students after the unfounded threat became known. So there was, again, a lot of inaccurate information floating around out there on Facebook, on Twitter, on email, and on text messages that caused tremendous concern on the parts of parents. And so a lot of parents came in to the school and demanded to take their kids out of school.
For the rest of that day, numerous armed police and deputies patrolled the Moab schools and escorted school buses. Even at the new HMK Elementary School, which has state-of-the-art security features, Moab parents were concerned. Taryn Kay is a principal at HMK and also coordinates the Comprehensive Emergency Preparedness Plan for the schools.
Every time there's a situation like Newtown or Columbine, I think renewed fear happens in the community, and parents are more afraid. And so for us as school personnel, it becomes really important to reassure them. We saw more of an increase in anxiety, much more in parents than students. We kind of became counselors, grief counselors, for parents dealing with grief that could happen to them.
Kay says the students feel very safe at the elementary school, which has advanced features to control and limit access to classroom areas.
What we've learned is every emergency is different and unique, and so you can have things written on paper, but there has to be a lot of training that goes into helping people understand situational awareness and staying calm in the middle of chaos.
Although Utah law allows teachers to have concealed weapons at school, it's not a likely scenario in Moab. Ron Olson, another school board member on the safety committee, has mixed feelings about the issue.
I don't know. It would have been nice if a couple of those teachers at Sandy Hook could have had a gun, and especially the one that hit all her kids in the closet there, and she was the only one that was there when he came in, and she got killed. But if she had a weapon, she could have defended herself. But so I can see some advantages to that, but I can also see the disadvantages too. You know, when you got a loaded weapon and in the classroom, there's always a potential for get it taken away from you and used by somebody else. You know, especially if they know you've got one.
Taryn Kay has no ambivalence about guns in schools.
I've had a couple parents ask me if teachers are packing. I am personally not aware of anybody who does, and I'm not an advocate. We don't want kids to feel like they are in a prison state.
Scott Crane, superintendent for Moab Schools, feels the same.
We're not the police. We're not the sheriff's office. I think that that's their job. They're trained. That's what they do for their profession. I think we teach.
As far as how to pay for a full-time peace officer in the schools, Crane said, we'll worry about the money as we go along. This is John Kovash reporting from Moab for UPR News.
There's the reaction of several people in Moab, and that may well fit with what you are feeling. Just a reminder, we're talking in this part of the program about guns in Utah and a reaction to a Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting with Clark Aposian with the Utah Shooting Sports Council and Corey Sorensen, a fourth-grade teacher at Highland Elementary School. And Matthew LaPlante joins me for the hour. He's assistant professor in Journalism and Communication Department at USU. Before we go to our other guest, Matt LaPlante, you wrote an interesting blog post on your blog, which is thecentermass.blogspot.com. And you were remembering when you were a reporter and you covered the Trolley Square shootings.
Yeah, I think following the Trolley Square shootings in Salt Lake City, in which a lone gunman walked into Trolley Square on an afternoon and killed multiple victims, there was like there is in every mass shooting, a conversation about the place of guns in society. And, you know, the interesting thing that happened in Trolley Square, and it's one of the few times where it's happened, but it's certainly a highlight example, is that there was an armed concealed weapons carrier there, a police officer from Ogden, who engaged the gunman. And at the point in which the officer engaged the gunman, no other civilians were killed. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, gun control advocates don't tend to want to talk about that situation very much. You know, I've engaged some gun control advocates in this conversation, and when they do, they tend to talk about the problems that the officer had, disciplinary problems that the officer had years after this situation occurred, which I think is interesting. But it's an important. I think it's an important example to remember is that there is a role. And we're not going to eliminate guns from our society anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to consider what the role is. And my column proposes, leading from the trolley hook situation, not arming more random citizens. It's very easy to get a concealed weapons permit. That doesn't mean you know how to use a gun or know how to use it effectively in the state of Utah. But if we could put more well-trained people in the right places at the right time, we can perhaps feel safer and be safer.
And your proposal is on-duty police officers could be stationed and doing their paperwork in schools.
Right. Everybody right now is talking about school resource officers. And school resource officers are a nice resource to have, but very expensive. They take officers off of the street. They put them into schools. Oftentimes, studies show they're oftentimes misused. They're used to enforce school discipline in areas where really principals and teachers can be handling problems. And they're not doing police work. And you have to pay an officer full time to be there. But in many departments, in most departments, officers spend a lot of time doing paperwork. And they do this back at police headquarters. They do it in their squad car, in a parking lot, at a coffee shop, such as the one around the corner from my house. That paperwork, all those hours spent, and depending on the department, you're talking about from a quarter to more than a half of an officer's time. All of that paperwork could be done at a desk in a school. And in this way, without spending a single cent of taxpayer money more, we could have a greater police presence in our schools and have, again, on a very bad day, a well-trained person in the right place at the right time.
Mm. That's Matthew LaPlante. He's in the Journalism and Communication Department at Utah State University. And we'll be talking with Corey Sorensen, a fourth-grade teacher at Highland Elementary, and Clark Opposian, who's a concealed weapons permit trainer and with the Utah Shooting Sports Council. We'd love to get to your comments as well. We're throwing out the following questions. As a parent, what do you want done? Has Sandy Hook changed your position on guns? How so? What can be done about violence in America? Where do guns fit in that? The number is 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495, or you can email us at upraxcess@gmail.com. Let me bring in Corey Sorensen. We appreciate you joining us. First of all, your reaction to Sandy Hook, that just had to impact you, I'm sure, as a teacher.
Yes, it definitely did. It hit home as to, what could happen, anywhere in the United States.
Just tragic scenes there. And I'm sure you could empathize and sort of put yourself in that place and think, what would I do?
Yeah, definitely. I have done that. I have put myself in that position and wondered, what things have we been trained to do so far and what more do we need to do?
So you, I guess one of your responses, had you started the concealed weapons permit training before or after Sandy Hook?
After Sandy Hook. I've taken classes for self-defense as well as I've been down to Frontside a couple of times in Nevada for firearms training long before Sandy Hook ever happened. However, when it's always been something that I was going to do. However, when the Sandy Hook tragedy hit, it hit home more of how I needed to do it a little bit sooner.
Hmm. And so you sought out some training. What is your motivation here? To protect the students if something like this happened?
Right. I absolutely love my students. I've been teaching over 12 years now, and I wouldn't be in this profession if I didn't love it. And, we take every measure we can to teach the students everything that they need to know, to prepare them for their future. And I think that their safety and security is of utmost priority as well, along with that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, as some would say, and I'm sure we'll probably hear in the second half of this program, that more guns out there is not the answer, just makes things less safe. I'm assuming you disagree with that.
Well, when you look at the Sandy Hook tragedy and you look at the tragedies that have happened in these mass shootings, and you see that you know, guns in the hands of the evil guys, yeah, that's not good. And we see numerous times that there's mass shootings. They're targeting people who, you know, those no gun zones and everything. And sadly, the reality of taking the guns away it's only going to affect the law-abiding citizens. You know, those criminals, those ones that want to do damage and harm others, they're not going to be law-abiding citizens and say, okay, I'm going to hand in my gun. I'm going to, I'm going to follow that rule.
Corey, I'm wondering, even among well-trained gun owners and gun users, even among police officers, accidents, self-inflicted shootings, wrongful shootings are not uncommon. I'm wondering what, taking this step, you're taking a great responsibility both for yourself, for your colleagues, for your students. What steps are you taking to prevent accidents once you decide to bring your weapon to school?
Well, first off, I just want to say that I'm grateful that in Utah we have that option to carry or not carry it at a school. And right now I'm in that process. And so, if I did decide to carry it at my school, I would and have already taken measures, in taking the concealed carry class. They teach you numerous ways to be safe with a firearm. Also, when you carry concealed, it's on your persons at all times. I've also taken many self-defense classes and would continue to take those classes to know how to protect myself if somebody did try to, get the gun from me or whatever measure that would take. But like I said, it's still in the process of getting that, and it's still a decision that will be made, and I'm glad that I have that option to decide it. But I think also being able to take training, I've had, couple courses of firearms training before as well, but I would continue that. And I honestly don't think that every teacher should carry a gun unless they're responsible with the gun and that they know how to use the firearm and can use that safety and precaution with it.
How do you think that should be determined that a teacher is? I mean, teachers have to be credentialed by the state to teach. How do you think it should be determined that a teacher is responsible to carry a gun in a school?
You know, I'm not sure of how exactly that should be gone about. I know, it is, I would hope that the teachers, all the teachers that I know are very responsible. We went into this profession, we teach these children eight hours a day, and we are very responsible people. And so I would think that just in light of who teachers are, that they would take those precautions because of the responsibility that comes with carrying a concealed weapon.
We're hearing there from Corey Sorensen, fourth grade teacher at Highland Elementary. We're joined by Matthew LaPlante, assistant professor at USU. And we'll be hearing from Clark Potion. Mr. Potion, ask you to be patient. I'm sure you're chomping at the bit with some of this, and we're going to extend this first half conversation so you can get full opportunity to comment. But we do have a caller I want to get in, Ryan from Logan. Ryan, go ahead. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for letting me on. I just so about your questions, I wanted to let you know I'm actually so I'm not a parent, but I am right now a university student here in Logan, so I have a student's feelings about this. I had the when the shooting happened in at the university a few years ago, not here at Virginia Tech. It got me thinking, and then my views were more fully developed just about where guns belong. I feel like there's a lot of talk about increasing the number of guns and the number of people that have guns in the school, in the place, and I'm just a little skeptical about what that about the safety that might guarantee.
Mm-hmm. Thinking maybe that isn't the answer.
I'm not saying. Well, I'm just want to explore other options.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we put more guns in school, the problem is placing and timing. You just don't know when a shooter is going to come in.
Mm-hmm. And there have been measures on every campus. Do you feel more or less safe at USU?
I certainly feel safe. There haven't been any changes that I've personally felt while I've been here. Just mm-hmm. noticed, they've tightened things up. I haven't noticed any of that.
Yeah. So it sounds like your position is sort of evolving. You're thinking about this.
I am thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So I want to explore everything, but I hear a lot of talk about putting officers in schools and giving teachers weapons to defend, but I'm just not sure that that's going to be effective in reducing the gun violence in America. Because if a shooter comes in, we just don't know where or when that's going to happen. We have to have a teacher. We'd have to have a gun on every teacher on their hip, or there's no effect. For example, if a teacher keeps the gun in a cabinet or in a desk locked away, kept away from the students, which would make sense in a lot of situations, shooter comes in, no time to get that before something happens.
Interesting. Appreciate that, Ryan. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, no trouble.
And
thank you.
Ryan called 1-800-826-1495. We'd love for you to do the same. We're talking about, of course, guns in Utah and reaction to Sandy Hook. Has Sandy Hook changed your views on guns in any way? As a parent, what would you want done? What can be done about violence in America? And are guns part of the problem or part of the solution? 1-800-826-1495, or you can email us at upraxcess@gmail.com. We bring in Clark Apogian now. Thank you for being patient, Mr. Apogian. A lot of different views here. And with Shooting Sports Council, Clark, I wonder, first of all, if you would respond to Ryan's points there.
Yeah, I actually commend your caller, Ryan. He's actually thinking about these things. He's not just parroting a bunch of rhetoric that he's heard. In the schools and in universities, what we've got is a matter of deterrence. No, you don't. You would actually, technically speaking, have to have a gun on every instructor in every classroom to cover your bases 100%. But the better than that is that the mere fact that a teacher, an administrator, a custodian, anyone that's able to have a concealed carry permit on that campus could have one, acts as a great deterrent, so that I'm not going to say that a shooter will never come onto campus because someone might have a gun, but it certainly has shown in the last 12 years that deterrence might very well have been a factor in this. But we do see, by sad experience, those areas that are gun-free, that the shooters and the individuals that are bent on, violence, know for a fact that, hey, nobody can be armed unless it's a security officer, and they're emblazoned with, they've got a uniform and a badge and a gun. If they want to, go in and shoot the school up, they're going to take that person out first. But you'll never know which teacher or custodian is carrying, because they maintain that firearm discreetly.
I have a question that I think Matthew does as well with regard to the training. But I want to double back and just get your reaction to Sandy Hook and what policy measures do you think should be implemented?
Wow. Are you talking to me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Sandy Hook hit me very hard, like it hit every feeling person, because we projected our own kids there, and there was that utter feeling of helplessness, of frustration, of anger, of everything. And I was no different. And I said to myself, I said, there's got to be, let's see how it works in Utah. For the last 12 years, we've had the ability to carry firearms. Haven't had any problems, and I'm not saying that because we had concealed carry in Utah that's the reason we haven't had any school shootings, but we do see a contrast between those areas that allow it and those that don't. But what we don't have are accidental shootings and negligent discharges and kids taking the guns away from teachers, which were the dire predictions before. But I said, you know what, let's go ahead and educate these teachers to, one, the fact that they can, in fact, maintain a firearm on their person while at school, because many of them didn't realize that. And then to double down, let's go ahead and train them for free and get them started on that path that they feel comfortable with a firearm. And as far as the training goes, in fact, I'll hit that right now because I think that was the next one. You know, in the tape segment, one of the individuals said, you know, they're not police, they're not sheriffs, they're not trained. Certainly not, and we are not suggesting that that teachers like Corey become law enforcement. You know, actively engage the shooter, investigate gunfire, and do this kind of stuff. We have the police to do that. They are trained. We do not expect the police to hide in a closet and hope that the shooter passes them by, because we've trained them differently. But we don't train teachers, even to the level of Corey has. Corey is well trained with a firearm, but we do not expect them to engage the shooter unless engaged upon, and you know, when you don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm. We do have a couple of callers. We're going to go there. First of all, Matthew, did you have any questions?
I was just wondering, maybe Clark, you could help elucidate this. If teachers carry on campus, what do you feel the responsibility is for the teacher to communicate this with administrators at the school and with parents from the school? Or is this just a personal decision that teachers get to make in secret from everyone? I mean, I know what the legal answer to that is, but I guess I'm asking you what you think the ethical answer to that is.
That's a good question, and I like the way you phrase that. I think it is up – well, obviously, I still maintain that, just like you said, I think it's ethically it's still up to the carrier, the individual carrier, because they're faced with when people learn that you have a concealed firearm permit, let alone might be carrying a firearm at that you know, in that conversation, some people revert back to this kind of knee-jerk reactionary ideology of, you know, you have a gun, guns are bad, therefore you are bad. And so I think that teachers, you know, by and large, are not these flag-waving Second Amendment gun activists. They're just somebody, just like you and me, who has had an epiphany of sorts and is committed to their own personal safety and by, you know, by association, the safety of their kids. I do not think it is certainly not the right. Ethical is certainly, or obviously not legal, but certainly not an ethical right that anyone know that an individual has a firearm, because what they do with that information, we see by sad experience, it can be to spread it around. We have in New York where someone thinking that using the right that they had in New York to advertise names, addresses, and plot map, or you know, plot locations on a map of all the people that have pistol permits, and they're thinking it's their, you know, their First Amendment right or their ethical duty. And you know what, I do not support that one way or the other. Now, if a teacher has a good relationship with their administration and feels the need or desire to let them know, then you know what, that is fantastic. You know, go ahead and do that.
We're talking about guns in Utah, reaction to Sandy Hook shootings, and we're talking with Matthew LaPlante, assistant professor in USU JCOM department. Also with Corey Sorensen, fourth grade teacher at Highland Elementary. She's getting a concealed weapons permit. Clark Aposian is with the Utah Shooting Sports Council. In about 5 minutes, we'll make a transition to talk with Mayor Dana Williams and Chief of Police Wade Carpenter from Park City, and Cal Udy, a staff member at American Federation of Teachers. Right now, we have a couple of callers. By the way, the number is 1-800-826-1495. We'd love to have your reaction. And we bring in Randy from Millville. I believe it is. Our producer is taking another call as we speak, but as soon as he's ready, Randy in Millville, are you there?
Yes.
Randy, I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that it, obviously, like everyone in this country should be, is horrified by the Sandy Hook tragedy. I think the problem is much, much larger than than the idea of who should own guns. I think the problem is a cultural one. We have been we are a culture of fear, and we've been raised that way during the atomic bomb in my generation. One war after another, we are a warring culture that has a invested more than any other country in the history of the world in militarism, and I think that it is prevalent that we have over 300 million guns by some estimates in the United States. Just this month, over 400 people have died from guns, and that's probably a low estimate because we're not even allowed to collect data because our system has legally prevented us from collecting the data we need to really evaluate this. So I think it's appropriate that everybody think really long and hard about whether or not we want to live in fear, whether or not we want to not go to in the ocean because of the fear of sharks. We'll hear about every shark attack. We'll hear about every act of gun violence. It's a minuscule, although horrifically tragic every time it happens. But for everybody to think that they need to have a gun under their pillow, a gun in their glove box, a gun on every teacher is absurd. And of course, our system is built to reinforce this to sell more guns because that's what we do. We sell armament in large numbers, not just in this country but to other countries. But we are one of the few countries in the world that has the problem. In fact, the only one I know of that has a problem to the extent that we do. So I think we need to look at ourselves, at our culture, and our priorities. As somebody who was in the military, in a war for a year and a half in a war zone in Vietnam, I know what it takes to be prepared to truly deal with somebody who is after your life. And I don't want to live that way. And that's not why I live in America.
Thank you, Randy.
I appreciate your having this program.
Appreciate that. I'll ask my guests to hold off on comments. I want to get our other caller in, and then we'll give you a chance to respond to both of them. Just hold off just a moment. Don and Jensen is our next caller. Don, welcome to the program.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, my comment, there are terrible and tragic things that happen in life. There's a dark side of people. And you can't legislate that away. You can't. Legislatures cannot decree that people are going to be good. And there are so many ways that we cause each other harm. And the laws don't change that. The laws set a standard, yes. But like cars, you know, there's so many car wrecks every day. Drownings, water. You're not going to legislate away water. You know, there are things that cause problems, and
so you're saying
guns have their appropriate uses. And I know people personally that have saved their own lives by the use of guns. Through situations where no fault of their own, they had to protect themselves. And if they had not had that ability, you know, my friend Gaywin would be dead right now. And I'm also a firefighter, you know, and 90% of fatal fires, there are firemen associated with the event. Well, that doesn't mean that firemen are bad. It doesn't mean that firemen cause fires. It's just that, yeah, they happen to be there too. There are evil. There are people with evil in their heart, and I think that applies to most people at some time in their life. Most of us suppress that urge, but there will always be ways to hurt the people around us. And I don't think that taking my ability to defend myself and my family is going to be a step in the right direction. I live 20 minutes by road from the nearest police station. And if it weren't for the volunteer fire department where I live in Jensen, it'd be 20 minutes to the nearest firehouse. I can't wait for government to take care of the responsibility that I have to take care of my family. So I'm on the volunteer fire department. And likewise, I also have guns. I teach my children and grandchildren to respect them and be careful. I feel that too many people are using this as a rally cry for disarming people. And
can I turn your comment over to Clark, because I'm interested. I mean, you mentioned regulating, and thanks for your call, by the way. You mentioned regulating. You mentioned that we all have cars. But we regulate cars, right? We have seatbelts and airbags and brake safety checks and emissions checks. And I'm wondering, Clark, maybe you could talk a little bit about the appropriate role as you see it for where guns should be regulated in our society and how they should be regulated in our society.
Absolutely. There's a lot of talk of a middle ground in that. We're at the middle ground right now, Tom. We've got... you know, I haven't counted them, but by some reports, 20,000 some firearm laws. There's regulations on time, place, manner, restrictions, the age in which you can purchase a firearm, the age in which you can possess a firearm, where you can shoot, what types of weapons you can have. All these things are already regulated very heavily. I mean, to say that they aren't regulated heavily and then make that association with vehicles – we don't necessarily register firearms, but in those areas like Canada and New York or Massachusetts where they have heavily regulated and registered them, they don't solve any crime with that. In fact, Canada, it was found to be this huge boondoggle with millions and millions of dollars spent with absolutely nothing to show for it. But I've got to address that the caller just before the previous one. There's no restriction whatsoever on the collection of deaths and accidents, homicides by firearms whatsoever. We are certainly not suggesting that every teacher have a firearm and that every glove box should have a firearm in it. This is the kind of rhetoric that that sometimes both sides engage in that doesn't help the conversation. It just increases that gulf between the ideologies, so to speak. If you want to have a good conversation, you've got to leave that rhetoric. Leave that rhetoric at home. But some people just find it hard. They're, you know, that slavish devotion to that rhetoric, that ideology that, you know, just says, we'll have a conversation, but I still, no matter what, we're going to ban guns.
And we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time for this part of the program. Clark Aposhian, Utah Shooting Sports Council, thank you so much. And Corey Sorensen, fourth grade teacher at Highland Elementary in Highland, Utah. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
By the way, the training ongoing, and I guess you'll be fully trained with your concealed weapons permit in the near future. And going back to school, I guess you'll feel safer with your kids.
I mean, that's not the only option that people have as well, is to, you know, there's other things that we've been discussing that you can do to protect yourself in the classroom as well, aside from always carrying a firearm in the classroom. Mm. So, yes, there's other things that we've been taking those steps and measures to keep our kids safe, you know, regardless of whether you carry a firearm or not. So, yes.
Well, good luck, and thanks for teaching the children. We need good teachers.
Thank you for your time.
We have Matthew LaPlante with us for the hour, assistant professor in the USU Journalism and Communication Department. We have a caller on the line. I'll ask you, Dave, to be patient. We'll take a brief break, come back with you and with Mayor Dana Williams and Chief of Police Wade Carpenter from Park City and Cal Udy, a staff member at American Federation of Teachers, all after the break.
Skip the waiting room and join us for another edition of Zorba Pastor on Your Health. You'll get all that great advice without those lousy magazines, plus a heart-healthy recipe for
Mediterranean Lamb Medley.
We always have a great time, so will you on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International.
Friday morning at 10 on Utah Public Radio.
Christopher O'Reilly here, and this week's From the Top is dedicated to folks in your public school.
Yeah, I want to thank my high school English teacher. In
sixth grade, Mr. Kramer recognized me
as a leader.
This song goes out to my high school choir director, my role model, and life coach.
That's From the Top from NPR.
Friday afternoons at 2, Sunday evenings at 9 on Utah Public Radio. We're responding to the Sandy Hook shootings on Access Utah today. Of course, we're all thinking about this. We were all impacted at a tragedy, and it seems like just the latest and one of the worst in a long line of these violent events in America. So what can be done? We're throwing that question out to you. Is it, as Randy said, a cultural problem or guns involved? Is that part of the problem? Has Sandy Hook changed your position on guns? And if so, how? And as a parent, if you're a parent, what do you want done? Throwing out those questions to you at 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495. And our email is upraxis@gmail.com. We bring in Mayor Dana Williams from Park City. Mayor, welcome back to the program. We appreciate you being with us. Chief of Police Wade Carpenter from Park City also joins us. Thank you.
How are you?
Doing well. And Cal Udy, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, a staff member at the American Federation Features.
Yes, I'm here. Cal Udy.
Udy, okay. I apologize for that. Before we jump in with you, I want to make sure we get our caller in, who's been waiting patiently, Dave in Logan. Thanks for calling. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Thank you. Hey, I just want to remind people that, you know, no matter what happens, we've got to remember the dark side of this reality is that no matter what industry you're talking about, there's going to be a black market as soon as it becomes illegal. And whatever we try to do, we're only taking the rights away from the people to arm themselves against those. We're not going to protect ourselves by taking away guns. We're going to make it harder for some people to get these guns, but it's going to be the majority for the civilians. The ones who want to get the guns no matter what are going to find them one way or another. Yeah. And anyone who's had any experience with the black market, whether it be drugs or whatever, you know that no matter what happens, you can get what you want easier because there's a market for it. As soon as something becomes illegal, the black market opens up because there's money to be made.
Thanks, Dave. Go ahead. You had more?
Yeah, once that happens, it's all downhill from there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sad that we have to go to these extents, but at the same time, I could be wrong, but I truly believe there's a way we're going to be saving ourselves by taking away the guns from the ones who need them.
We'll get reaction from our guests. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that perspective.
Thank you.
Dave called 1-800-826-1495, toll-free anywhere you are. You can call as well. We'd love to have your answers to some of our questions. As a parent, what would you want done? Has Sandy Hook changed your position on guns? What can be done? And are guns part of the problem or part of the solution? 1-800-826-1495 or upraxis@gmail.com. Let me bring in Mayor Williams first. First of all, your reaction to Sandy Hook, and what do you think should be done?
Well, basically, you know, we had gotten involved with council approval with the Mayors Against Illegal Weapons about a year and a half ago. So I think we've been kind of involved here in the dialogue for quite some time before Sandy Hook. So it didn't really change our opinion. I think we're trying to look at kind of a common sense approach to what happens mostly with gun sales and the fact that, you know, unlicensed private sellers are allowed to sell, and the estimate is somewhere around 6.5 million guns are sold illegally, through unlicensed sellers a year. And so, you know, I think what we're looking at is supporting standardizing the background checks. You know, right now we've got reciprocity on carry permits between states, but we don't have standardization of the background checks. So I think some of this is pretty common sense. For me personally, I was a rancher in Utah. I've owned a shotgun. I've owned rifles before. You know, this isn't trying to take anything away from anybody, but it's trying to create a bit more of a dialogue on what's appropriate.
And the chief of police, Wade Carpenter, I wonder what your reaction is, a member of law enforcement. What do you think should be done?
Well, we've been dealing with this for a long time. Certainly, Sandy Hook is not new to America or to any of us. But I think that my problem, and the mayor touched on this a little bit about standardization, Utah currently allows anyone to carry a concealed carry with very little training. And that's always been a big concern of mine. As a responder on calls for service, we show up, and a lot of times we may come across individuals with concealed carry. I'm certainly not against concealed carry, but I think that other states don't even recognize, they don't want to allow Utah to carry in those states because there isn't the training that's necessary to carry those and really understand what's going on. I'm not saying there aren't some classes out there that teach responsible concealed carry, but I am concerned that we've become very liberal in the sense that you can carry with very little training and have very little understanding of what the repercussions are for pulling a weapon out, understanding what deadly force is versus protecting property.
Look, we'll follow up on some of those points. I want to get to Kyle Udian, staff member, American Federation of Teachers. When this happens in an elementary school, I'm sure that impacts your members. What's the position of the American Federation of Teachers? We've talked earlier in the program with a elementary school teacher who is getting a concealed weapons permit. We've heard ideas of putting police officers in schools. So what do you think should be done?
We take a very, very strong stand of no guns in the schools. We want the school for the guns out of schools, not in the schools. We could actually arm our teachers. My concern is with 4 hours of training, they don't have the experience. They do not have the training on when to fire, who do I fire at, how to identify the bad guy. I listened the other day to a representative in Texas saying that we should arm all of our teachers. I'm afraid that if we have someone with 4 hours of training firing at who they think is the bad guy, they don't know who is on the other side of the wall that they fire through. I don't think they would have the training that a police officer has, that a member of the military has. I don't think that they're thinking about what's going to happen to their lives by taking a life. Police officers are trained, but they still have an extremely hard time when there's a shooting that occurs that they're involved in. We would like to see not a banning of guns entirely with hunters, gun collectors, and so on. There shouldn't be any type of additional laws there. The only thing I would like to see is a ban on high-capacity ammunition clips. I don't think there's a hunter in this nation that needs 30 rounds to shoot at a deer. I don't think there's a hunter in this nation that needs 30 rounds in any hunting experience. And that would be my take on this, to actually ban the high-capacity clips, ban assault weapons for private use. I'm afraid that we've got a bunch of people out there with weapons they don't know how to handle.
We did have a couple of callers who then dropped, so do call back. We still have the phone lines open if you'd like to participate in the program. The number is 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495, or upraccess@gmail.com is the email. And we're talking with Mayor Dana Williams and Chief of Police Wade Carpenter from Park City, and Cal Udy, a staff member at the American Federation of Teachers. We have with us for the hour Matthew LaPlante, assistant professor in the USU Journalism and Communication Department. We have another about 4 or 5 minutes left in the program. 1-800-826-1495. As a parent, what would you want done? Has Sandy Hook changed your position on guns? What can be done? America is demonstrably a very violent place, and are guns part of the problem or part of the solution? Matthew LaPlante, I wonder if you have any questions.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Chief Carpenter and Mayor Williams, whether or not what your discussions have been in terms of putting officers into schools in Park City.
We currently do have officers in Park City and in Summit County, both. Certainly, I spoke with Sheriff Edmonds yesterday. They've been going through some budget cutbacks, and he's made it a priority to keep his officers in the schools and not take them out. Originally, he'd looked at that a little bit and has determined, and certainly we have, that officers in schools are a huge deterrent. I also think that by doing proper safety plans, by locking down the back of the schools, enforcing individuals through the front of the schools, you know, they generally do that, but I think we become fairly lax on that. And I think even if they had somebody that was a civilian checking a little closer, and certainly we've gone through to great lengths where our schools are actually trying to train our students to recognize strangers in the school and report that. So if they see people that don't belong in the schools, that they're going to report that. And then we're going to test that and have tested that to see what the response is. Currently, the students haven't been very responsive, and so certainly this is going to be an education process for us. And real quickly, I just wanted to add, by allowing, you know, I think there are certain individuals and students that have the background and the ability and the mindset to use a weapon. And I'm not suggesting that they don't, but a concern for me and what we've had, because we certainly want high capacity, our officers to have high capacity rifles secure in certain places. And we've talked about securing those in certain places in the school, but the thought of having teachers with potentially unsecured weapons scares me more than anything.
Yeah. Let's jump in. We have a couple of callers. We'd like to fit them in. We'll ask you each to be fairly brief. Brock in Cedar City, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks. I just want to make a quick point about having a gun and somebody taking a life in the school. It's more of not necessarily having the gun to, you know you're there, somebody were shooting, you're going to shoot them. It's to have the gun there so that the shooter knows there's a gun. If somebody were to come in, you know, there's these shootings happen at places where gun-free zones, where they know there's not going to be any opposition, which I think has a huge impact on where they decide to do it. And if they knew that there maybe was just one, you know, officer in there with a weapon, that it would maybe swim down the chances, not necessarily keep it from happening. But I think it would have a big impact on just having something like that. But anyway, that's my big point.
Okay, thank you, Brock. And we'll try to fit our last caller in. Keith in Utah County, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Hey, I just want to point out that Eric Kohler said, was it yesterday, the only way we're going to get rid of guns is to change the way we think about them. But the Second Amendment pretty much defines it all, and that's what we need to defend, and that's what I want to say.
Okay, thank you, Keith. I don't know if any of my guests want to do a 30-second response to either of those.
I certainly don't mind bringing up. This is Mayor Williams. You know, I think what's happened with Connecticut, some of the other incidents, is causing us to have a national dialogue. I think that's great. I think the scope is actually bigger than just guns. It has to do with mental health issues in the country and everything else. But I do think that the single biggest thing that can be done immediately is going back to requiring a standardization of background checks all across the country so that everyone's playing on the same page. And I think that's the first and foremost thing we need to do.
We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. And, of course, we'll probably come back and revisit this. There's a lot of interest in this. We have been talking with Mayor Dana Williams and Chief of Police Wade Carpenter from Park City. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And Cal Udy, staff member at American Federation Futures. Thank you. And Matthew LaPlante, assistant professor in the Journalism Communication Department at USU. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. Great discussion.
Spending the hour with me. Tomorrow, of course, it's Science with Sherry Quinn. And next week, we're working on a program, I think on Tuesday, on air quality, which we're all concerned about. That's coming up next week. For producer Shalane Smith-Needham, I'm Tom Williams. Thanks for listening.
Access Utah is a production of Utah Public Radio. You can listen to this episode or previous episodes of Access Utah anytime at upr.org, where you can find a link to subscribe to our podcast. This is Utah Public Radio, KUSR HD1, 89.5 Logan, KUSK HD1, 88.5 Vernal, KUSL HD1, 89.3 Richfield, KUST HD1, 88.7 Moab, and KUSU FM HD1, 91.5 Logan.